Hi, my name is Onimisi Adaba. Now, in partnership with Bridge Clinic, the first pioneering IVF center in Nigeria, every Tuesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Inspiration FM, I'll be coming your way with a show called The Men's Room, which is the much-needed platform for healthy and honest discussions on things we as men hardly talk about. Now, don't forget, I'm partnering with Bridge Clinic, and it's coming your way on Tuesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Men's Room, from the bedroom to the boardroom.
Welcome on board The Men's Room right here, and thanks for joining in. My name is Onimisi Adaba. How are you? You're not always asking. Come on, you should know by now. I have to, because I care. Truly, that's just it. I care. How are you? How's it been? How's the day coming? All right, very good. All right, yippee-ki-yay. Nice. I'd love to hear that. And even if it's not going well, it's going to be, you know, it happens. You know, you'll have one bad day or two bad days, but pretty much you'd get over it. That's what life is all about. Hey, what is life without one bad day or two bad days or some challenge or the other? Yeah, so it's going to be okay. So right here in The Men's Room, once again, welcome. Onimisi Adaba is the name. We're concluding the series. It's been on and on and on. We've had a back-to-back session on the fertility or infertility series. We've taken it from different perspectives, different angles, the male, the female, you know, the emotions. We've looked at the emotions. We've looked at when the problem is from the male, when it's from the female, you know, all kinds of angles we've looked at. And today, what we are going to be talking about is, I've got this word now. Last time they were trying to help me out, thinking I didn't have it, I wouldn't get it. And I, come on, it's a simple one. Well, I had to rehearse. Well, we're going to be talking on endometriosis and infertility. I've got a fantastic guy in the house, Dr. Ibrahim Adewale, a fertility expert all the way from the Bridge Clinic, who would be sharing his perspective with me on this. And just to create a background on it for those who don't have an idea of what it's all about, we know that a little research has been carried out when it comes to endometriosis and fertility. But overall, it's generally felt that women with endometriosis may have a harder time becoming pregnant. Now, studies also indicate that women with minimal, mild endometriosis take longer to conceive, that's becoming pregnant now, and are less likely to conceive than women in general. It also appears that the more severe the woman's endometriosis, the more likely it is that she will have difficulty becoming pregnant, and thus women with moderate severe endometriosis tend to have more difficulty conceiving than women with minimal mild endometriosis. So what it says is that there are actually two angles, the severe one, the mild one. And the doctor in the house is Dr. Adewale now. He's going to be, you know, just pouring out from like a fountain, just sharing wisdom, knowledge, experience. He sees it almost every day. And he's going to be sharing on what, why, when, how, and most importantly, the healing factor, the healing, the remedy, because that's what it's all about. You know, you're talking The Men's Room. How come you guys are talking female stuff here? And why not? That's why we're here. You know, just to be able to understand this from our own perspective and handle it and deal with it whenever it happens. And most importantly, to know where to go whenever we're faced with it. It's usually news till it hits home. Yeah, so I'm just, you know, giving you a heads up. So when it hits you, or if it hits you, you wouldn't only know what to do, but you would know where to go for solutions and all of that. So, doctor, thank you so much for coming. Good to have you here.
Yeah, same here.
Is this your first time on radio?
Not exactly.
Oh, good. So it's like, go with the flow.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, some folks come and they're like, you know, kind of tensed and kind of worried what they're going to say, how they're going to say it and all of that. But I already feel a flow from you there.
Thank you.
Yeah? How's your day going?
Yeah, fine. Thank God.
What is a typical day like in your field? Typical day?
Well, a typical day, you know, starts with, you know, consulting.
Mm-hmm.
Clients, you know, men.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, we start each day, you know, mm-hmm. thinking and, about how, you know, to make every woman, you know, that we come across in the course of the day, you know, happy or happier, you know, by the time they leave seeing us.
Okay. And that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Not just them coming, but them leaving happier.
Yeah. That's the watchword, or that's the keyword. Leaving happier, you know. At times, it's not all the time that we're actually able to do something, you know, physical for them.
Okay.
But, you know, the manner in which you, you know, talk to them. And more importantly, you know, giving hope. And
yes.
then making them believe that they will eventually be able to achieve, you know, their ultimate dreams and goals. Gives them a lot of comfort.
Again, talking with one of your staff from the clinic there, the Bridge Clinic, I like the fact that you guys look at the emotional part, the psychological part. So you're not just looking at, all right, go pop the pills and come, let's check you out and all of that. But you're dealing with emotions, you're dealing with psychology, and sometimes that could just be the problem, or that could be just be the solution, so to speak. The problem and the solution.
Exactly. You're very right. Because we know when dealing with fertility related issues, it's quite sensitive, and there's a very strong emotional, you know, component to it, and it's very important that is critically addressed.
Yes.
You know, at every point in time, because it also has, you know, a very positive impact.
Yeah.
On your overall outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So if eventually you focus, you know, just on the physical and they're not taking care of the emotional side to it, treatment would have been deemed to have been a failure as well.
There's a whole package there, I'm telling you. So endometriosis does not equal fertility. It is important to remember that having endometriosis does not automatically mean that you will never have children. Rather, it means that you may have more problems getting pregnant. Tell us about this.
Basically, I think I would just have to start with what endometriosis, you know.
Right on, means. Doc. You the doc.
Endometriosis simply refers to a situation where you have the endometrial lining or tissue. You know, you have them in other spaces outside of the uterine cavity. Now, when I say the uterine cavity, that's the inner part of the womb or the uterus. So you now have tissues that are there finding their way to other parts of the body, and that brings about endometriosis. So when we see other parts of the body, you can find them in, you know, several parts, the reproductive tract. You can find them in the chest. You can find them along the skin.
In the chest?
Yes, in the chest. Even in the brain as well.
Good.
And then you can find them, you know, all over the skin, you know, as well. But for the purpose of our discussion today, you know, our focus is going to be on, you know, endometriotic tissues, you know, within the reproductive tract.
Mm-hmm.
So which means, you know, somewhere along the fallopian tubes, the pouch of Douglas, the ovaries, as it were. So so having an endometriosis does not equal, you know, to not eventually being able to have children. It may just be delayed, but eventually it's possible. And we also have different grades of endometriosis. You have the mild, moderate, and severe, which I hope we'll be able to, you know, also make mention talk about somewhere along the line.
Talked about it earlier on, and that's actually one angle that I'll want you to throw light on, because you know, a handful of folks, you know, women go through a whole lot of these things and don't know, one, where it's coming from. They don't know how severe it is. And this is actually a time for you to break it down. There's the one that requires the hormonal treatment, which is the minimal mild endometriosis, and the moderate severe endometriosis, and then the one that requires a surgical treatment. So just take it one after the other. Listen, I'm going to throw out the lines shortly, but just listen to the doc as he spits wisdom, knowledge, experience, you know, and then you can take your cue from there to ask questions and all of that. So take us one after the other, how these work, the minimal mild endometriosis, which requires some hormonal treatment, and the moderate severe, right down to the surgical treatment, the one that requires surgical treatment.
Unfortunately, prior to now, we used to think the endometriosis was something that was not common, you know, in our environment. But with advances in technology, particularly with availability of laparoscopic services, we now know that a lot of women who suffer infertility also have associated endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
When endometriosis is mild, you know, it could be difficult to detect, and you know, could be just the underlying cause of challenges in achieving a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
There are different, you know, mechanisms or different ways in which it brings about these problems. And to a large extent, many of these, you know, reasons have also not been totally proven.
Okay.
But we know, you know, that this and this are probably the way in which the endometriosis could be responsible for infertility, particularly the mild one, may be difficult to, you know, to detect. Or to diagnose, outwards, and usually requires, a very high index, of suspicion, by the managing physician.
Could checking the mild one be invasive?
Yeah, it could. Once you have a reason to suspect, because classically we have three symptoms, that we look out for.
One,
once a woman has painful sexual experiences, dyspareunia, painful menstrual flow, dysmenorrhea, and there is associated difficulty in achieving pregnancy, infertility. So once you have,
these three,
you must rule out endometriosis.
What if two out of the three? Or
yeah,
one
still
out of
a very
three?
Yeah. If you have one, not definitive, but by the time you have two out of three or three out of three, very high chances that there is endometriosis.
So how about the moderate severe endometriosis?
Yes. You see, at times, particularly in the mild endometriosis, all you may just have is that the woman is having challenges or difficulty in achieving pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you start having moderate to severe, there could also be affectation of quality of life. You know, when I say quality of life, in terms of recurrent chronic pelvic pain, which means she's always in and out of hospital, because of pains. Which is likely due to adhesions, that have been formed by the endometriotic tissues. So what that means is, because what happens is those endometriotic tissues, wherever they find themselves outside of the lining of the uterine cavity, once the woman is menstruating every month, there would be metabolic activities in those tissues and those ectopic sites. So which means if you have an endometriotic tissue, perhaps somewhere in the pouch of Douglas or on the ovary, if the woman is menstruating, the endometriotic tissue on the ovary or in the uterus sacral ligament will also, be shedding blood at that time.
Oh.
So over time, because, blood represents a good culture medium and then increase the risk of adhesion formation. So the adhesions is eventually what gives rise to pain in the woman. And by the time you are now having pain, you are talking about, moderate endometriosis. And it's also important to state that the severity or the symptom, does not always equate to severity of endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
So which means you could have someone with mild symptoms, but yet, has, severe endometriosis. Symptoms may be out of proportion.
Amazing.
It's quite an interesting phenomenon, quite interesting and challenging, as well, particularly when we get to the aspects of treatment.
Okay.
Because that also represents, or could present some form of challenge.
Okay. We're going to talk about the causes, but before we do that, run us through the surgical treatment. One that requires a surgery.
There are different modalities of treatment for endometriosis. Medical, where you make use of medications, or surgical.
Yes.
Now, when you need to have surgical intervention, what it means is you're actually going in either to, burn out the endometriotic tissues. That means the endometriotic tissues you have at those ectopic sites where they ordinarily should not be found. You can go in through laparoscopy to burn out those endometriotic tissues, whether you burn them out or you excise them. Occasionally, you can also have the endometriomas in the ovaries, where you now have collection of endometriosis in the ovaries. So you could also do surgery, to take care of that, or release of adhesions, because when you have these adhesions, they also play a role in chronic pelvic pain, and then it's believed that at times, when you free up these adhesions, you may be able to restore normal anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And because what happens at times, by the time you have adhesions, you now have misplacement of structures.
Yeah.
You have different structures coming together.
Yeah.
And if you're able to free them up, you may be able to restore normal anatomic and configuration.
Yeah.
And some of those individuals may still be able to achieve pregnancy in the bedroom.
When you say burning, I mean, my crude mind takes me to just light a fire and... but that's not what you mean.
Yeah, most definitely not.
Okay, yeah.
So when I say burning, I mean making use of laser. Thermal, you apply thermal heat, you know, to burn out those tissues.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not
not my way.
Yeah, not your way. So,
the men's room is what it is, and my name is Onimisi Adaba, having a chit chat with Dr. Adewale, expounding a whole lot on endometriosis on the final installment of infertility right here in the men's room. We've come a long way. 6 weeks back to back of just sharing with you a whole lot. And I believe you've learned a thing or two. Yeah? And you're knocking on their door right now, the Bridge Clinic, to say, hey, look, I need help. I got to check me out and see what's going on here. Yeah? Well, if you haven't, I think you should. And probably start. We've talked a whole lot about eating the right meals, the exercise, the from the male perspective, the female perspective. And what else now? What else have we talked about? Late marriage. Oh, my goodness. What a session we had there. Late marriage. And right now, endometriosis. We're serving a good meal right here in the men's room. And you better maximize it, especially with the Bridge Clinic. So now let's go to the causes. Now, in most cases, they say it is not understood why it is harder for women with endometriosis to become pregnant. The exception, you know, the rule is when the woman's endometriosis is severe enough to cause damage to one or more of the organs involved in conception. For example, if the ovaries are covered in thick adhesions, the egg may not be able to escape from the ovary to be fertilized. Similarly, if the ovaries of the fallopian or the fallopian tubes are stuck in abnormal places by adhesions, the newly released egg may not be able to find the entrance to the fallopian tube, and such damage is usually found only in some women with moderate or severe endometriosis.
The causes of endometriosis in itself also represents largely something that we talk about theories. You know, that you can't really pinpoint that this is the exact reason or causes of endometriosis. But factors that have been identified, or I would say risk factors, you know, would include women who have, you know, increased exposure to menstruation. Because, you know, what we say is that usually there's what we call a retrograde menstruation. You know,
retrograde.
Okay. That means a backflow of menstruum. You know, normally when a woman is menstruating, she's supposed to, the blood flow is supposed to come out through the vagina. But occasionally you also have a retrograde. That means a backflow. And then you have the menstruum flowing back through the fallopian tubes and then into the pelvic or peritoneal cavity. So that's where you now have, you know, the seedlings of those.
No, I'm just sitting here just looking at you seriously as if I understand what you're talking about. As in,
seedlings of those endometriotic,
tissues.
So that is where, you know, for a woman who has an increased exposure to menstruation, you know, either because she starts menstruating, you know, very early, or she has short menstrual cycle, which means she would have more menstrual flows, you know, per year. You know, they are at increased risk. It's also been said that for some women, because there are defects in their immune system, because normally when you have those endometriotic tissues and those ectopic sites, the body is supposed to recognize that these tissues are not supposed to be here and kind of inactivate them.
Yeah.
So it's also been thought that where there is a defect in the immune function and inability of the body to be able to inactivate those ectopic, those endometriotic tissues at those ectopic sites will represent, you know, a possible cause. And then we have a lot of other theories which may be a bit, you know, complex, you know, to discuss here, since we are trying to break it down and make it as simple, you know, as possible.
How simple is breaking down one of the causes, which is eggs are of poor quality?
Yes. Poor egg quality also represents, because when we say endometriosis, there are different ways in which it may lead to infertility.
Yeah.
We've talked about distortion, anatomical disruption in the severe form.
Yeah.
Because those endometriotic tissues also produce a certain, if I would say, toxic, you know, chemicals. Now, these toxic chemicals, you know, the prostaglandins, interleukins, interfere with the process of normal egg development, oocyte development. such that with endometriosis, there's always, you know, a risk, you know, of having poor quality eggs. And then when you have poor quality eggs, the chances of also having, you know, successful pregnancy outcomes is also, you know, compromised. So that actually represents one of, you know, several mechanisms, you know, by which endometriosis, you know, causes infertility. But one that is also quite common in our environment here is tubal affectation, you know, because like I said, we usually tend to assume that endometriosis is not common.
Mm-hmm.
So a number of times, diagnosis is also, you know, quite late.
And then
by the time you are making the diagnosis, you already see or find out that there is a significant anatomical, you know, disruption.
But then again, you had reeled out the three signs to look out for earlier on.
Classical.
Yeah.
Painful menstrual flow, dysmenorrhea, painful sexual relationship, dyspareunia, and associated infertility.
I'm glad those things have what we can relate to instead of dyspareunia.
That means when you have very painful, you know, sexual relationships.
Yeah, and then the other dys.
Dysmenorrhea.
There we go.
Painful menstrual cycles.
Listen, guys, got to throw out the phone lines. You want to call? Feel free to give us a call right now. You can call 0700-923-923-923. Feel free to call in. And also, you can send text messages to 081-04-60-7791. That's 081-04-60-7791. Send text messages there, all of them. Inquiries you wanna make, send it all there. Okay, you wanna call? All right. Another number to call is 01-63-100-92. But right here in the studio, you can call 0700-923-923-923. Share your story, ask your questions. I've got the doc in the house here to share from his wealth of experience. Every day he sees all kinds of people with all kinds of cases, and he's here sharing, you know, a combination of textbook knowledge and his experience so far right there at the Bridge Clinic, what he sees. So another cause, they say, is, you know, chemicals produced by the endometriosis inhibit the movement of the egg down the fallopian tube.
Yeah, it's still the same toxic chemicals that I've been talking
chemicals.
About.
Yeah.
Now, normally, you know, what happens is we have what we call ciliary motility, which means, you know, the process.
Okay, I think we have a caller. All right. Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
I'm fine.
Okay, what's your name?
I'm David.
All right, David. King David. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, David from Ibeji.
All right. Thanks for calling. So talk to us. You have a story or you have questions?
I bumped into what you guys were saying. So, like, I've been listening to you guys for, like, 30 minutes now. So, I'm married.
Okay.
And if I'm having sexual intercourse with my wife, she's always complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not complaining, but I'm telling her it's no problem that they're going to test anytime she goes to a maternity. You understand that she shouldn't think, and she's thinking maybe she's not going to. She's in her late 30s. But I'm always telling her not to complain. I'm not in a rush. I'm not the type that wants kids early, so trying to, like, search for solution. As in, I've been hearing what the doctor have been saying, calling all sorts of us. I'm not in the medical line.
All right. Okay. So let's. All right. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So I think what I would advise, Mr. David, is even though you said you are not in a hurry, but I think your wife should, because she's in her late 30s, and I don't know how many kids you have already, but if you don't have any, I think there's a need, you know, to be in a hurry, you know, because, you know, fertility declines, you know, with increasing age. And then the earlier one tries to address, you know, some of these issues, the better. Now, you talked about difficulty in sexual relationships. I think there may be a need, you know, to also look further, you know, into that. Does she have painful menstrual flows as well?
Mm.
Yeah, because the commonest site, you know, for the endometriotic tissues is in the uterosacral ligament. sorry, these retrosacral ligaments are actually in the posterior part of the uterus.
Mm-hmm.
So when you assume uncomfortable, you know, sexual relationship, particularly with deep penetration,
mm-hmm.
could, you know, be quite disturbing and could be very early signs.
Okay.
You know, to suspect endometriosis.
All right. Thanks. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Hello. Good evening.
Hi. How are you? What's your name?
I'm fine. Thank you. My name is Blessing.
All right. Blessing. Thanks for calling in. You've got a story or you have questions to ask?
I have a question to ask, please.
Go on, please.
Okay. Yeah. I do see my period, although normally, and it lasts for 4 to 5 days. That's how I've been seeing it. And it flows normal. But I'm confused because right now, if it comes, if it does flow for like 2 to 3 days, and it is tough. And I don't like the way it flows.
Okay.
I should have Mrs. What's the name again?
Blessing. She's
Mrs. Blessing. Yeah, I would advise you visit your gynecologist. Yeah, I would advise you visit your gynecologist for a comprehensive review of your situation.
How about the check out the Bridge Clinic for a comprehensive review? Yeah, check out the Bridge Clinic. Blessing, that's what you should do actually. check out the Bridge Clinic. I could give you the lines. Just listen up for the lines later on as the show progresses.
Doctor.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Great. What's your name?
Juliet.
All right, Juliet. Thanks for calling. So talk to us.
My issue is from the beginning of my menstruation cycle, it has been painful. And now I'm a mother of one. And my baby is 4 years. And the pain is still there. And
he's
even going worse by the day.
Yeah.
I don't know the reason.
Yeah, I would still advise, you know, you see your gynecologist.
Check out the Bridge Clinic.
Because we've talked about endometriosis. That's just one cause. There are, you know, probably over 100 other causes or reasons why you could have, you know, painful menstrual flows. So it's important to be comprehensively reviewed.
So for Blessing and Juliet, you would want to call 081. No, not call. Send a text message, inquiries. You know, a text message or a WhatsApp message to 081-0460-7791. You know, just send inquiries there and you'd get tons and pools of endless answers, you know, to whatever it is you'd want to ask. You could also call 001-631-0092. So Dr. Ibrahim Adewale, a fertility expert from the Bridge Clinic, is in the house with me and just sharing all kinds of thoughts on endometriosis. And there is what they call the ovarian endometriosis. Now, there's considerable debate on how large ovarian endometriosis in women with endometriosis-related infertility should be treated. All right, let's take... Okay. The three main treatments, they say, are draining of endometrioma and draining of... There's a whole lot of big names here. I'll just leave it up to you now. But fundamentally, there are three ways of treatment.
Yes. The endometriomas also represent, you know, another form of, you know, endometriosis that we have in the ovaries. So what it means is, you know, they end up taking up a lot of space, you know, within the ovaries, normally where the follicles, which are supposed to be the eggs that will proliferate, ought to be. So they take up that space. And apart from taking up that space, you know, they also affect, you know, the quality of the follicles or oocytes that will develop or arise from those ovaries. So the interventions, you know, could be, you know, to use medicines, you know, to shrink them or reduce their sizes, or surgical intervention.
Hang on, I think we have
to
a call.
To remove them so I can free up space for normal follicles. To
Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
I'm very well, thank you. My name is Dora, calling from Lagos Island.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Good evening, Doctor.
Hello, good evening, Dora. How's your day been?
Very well, thank you. I just wanted to make two inquiries. The first one is, where is Bridge Clinic located? Then secondly, what kind of tests can one conduct when one is just newly married and planning to have a family?
All right. Thank you. First thing, when you're newly, or if you're newly married, ordinarily, we usually don't get, you know, worried or bothered, you know, about couples, you know, until they've been trying to achieve pregnancy for about a year.
Yeah.
If the woman is less than 35 years, but if she's above 35 years, within 6 months, you know, she should, you know, get herself investigated. But however, we also have, you know, young couples who recently got married and who are quite anxious or want to know, you know, their fertility status. Then under such circumstances, they may run a couple of basic tests, you know, just to reassure themselves, you know, that everything is fine. So you can also, you know, make appropriate inquiries on what those tests are, you know, through the lines, you know, that will be given, so that you can avail yourself of those tests. They're just basic tests, you know, just to be sure that everything is fine. And then it also puts your mind, you know, at rest.
So,
there are a couple of tests that could be done, very basic tests.
So fundamentally, if you want to know where Bridge Clinic is, it's right there at the Ikecha GRA, number 66 Odudua Way, right there at Ikecha GRA, number 66 Odudua Way. You might want to call them ahead of time before going on 01-631-1092. You might want to send a text ahead of time, you know, 081-0460-7791. Send a text to the number or send a WhatsApp message and you will be duly attended to.
But more importantly, I would also want to say that she should be calm, she should be relaxed, she should not get unnecessarily anxious. It will come.
Do you think that?
Yeah, because, and that's also part of the reason why we, you know, usually, you know, put the 1 year mark. Because we know that where everything is normal and couples are having relationships every day, chances that you'll get pregnant in a particular month is just about 25%.
Yeah.
Even though everything is normal and fine. So that's why it's important to always remain calm, be relaxed.
So anxiety too could be
most definitely.
You're worried, you're nervous, you're anxious, you're like, what is happening? I've heard that, just pretend as if you guys just live your normal life, have your regular intercourse, you know, don't push it, don't fuss it, you know, and it'll come to be.
Exactly.
You know.
And then more importantly, I would also just want to state that it's important that women know about their menstrual cycles.
Yeah.
That's very, very key. But I don't want us to digress, but it's just important that I make mention of that.
Yeah, but don't you think they know? They should know, right?
Yeah. They should, but you, funny enough, you'll be surprised when you don't know.
Hey, look, you can also follow us on Twitter at Men's Room OJ. Just send a whole lot of things you want to send over there. Excuse me. Okay. Just send it there at Men's Room OJ and be a part of the show and contribute as much as you can. Dr. Ibrahim Adewale in the house, a fertility expert, talking on endometriosis and anything and everything you need to know. Another course they say is okay. Hello.
Hello, sorry, doctor. I was the one I called just a few minutes ago. You just addressed what I called about 34, and I've been married for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually why I called to ask the question.
Oh, okay, all right. So 34 over a year, you need to start taking active steps.
I've been monitoring my menstrual cycle for the past 5 years. I actually even have an app that I put it on. So my cycle is actually perfect.
Okay.
58 days.
Yeah. So because of the duration now that we're talking about, you need to start taking very active steps, you know, to trying to get pregnant. And taking those active steps, you know, involves, you know, visiting a fertility specialist.
There's an app for the cycle?
Ah, yes. Really? is there anything we don't have apps for these days?
Amazing. Good Lord. How does that work?
It
just tells you, hey, it's time.
It predicts, you know, your menstrual flow ahead of time. So it tells you if you had your periods, you know, maybe on the first of this month, you already know when, you know.
So you enter the
dates. Exactly. So you already know when your next menstrual cycle menstrual flow is likely to be.
Good Lord. You know, that's something that guys will want.
And then it also indicates to you the point in the cycle where you are likely to ovulate.
Okay. Hello?
So use all that.
Let's hold that thought. We'll go back there. Hello?
Good evening.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
Mary.
All right, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Go on, please.
Hello, good evening, Mary. You're welcome.
My menstrual cycle has been perfect, but for the past 4 months, I observed some changes. It will flow for 3 days. Then the fourth day, it will cease. Then come back the next day. I don't know if it's normal or there's an abnormality there. I've tried to go for culture lab and they said I'm okay.
Yeah,
it may not be
abnormal. Has it always been like that, or is it just a recent development, like you said, in the last 4 months?
4 months. No, it has not been like that. It has been okay.
Okay.
Like the stretch, but the thing just started off recent.
Okay, so you may probably still need to see your gynecologist. Ordinarily, looking at it on face value, it's not likely to be anything significant, because ordinarily, that is the pattern for a good number of women. You have a flow, then it stops, and then just about the last day, it comes again. So, but because it's not been your pattern, and then it's been on for about 3-4 months now, it's important that we take it quite serious and try to find out why it's like that.
Mm.
Because it's not been a pattern.
Yeah.
But for some others, it could just be a normal pattern.
Should she check out the app?
Yes. No, not the app. She needs to see a physical being.
I'm just checking. Hello?
This is not for apps.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, my name is Sunday. Please, doctor, how can one get the app for the menstrual period and ovulation period?
Yeah, I'm sure it's available on Google Play Store.
I can bet I know why he wants the app. And that was what I wanted to say earlier on before the call.
I'm sure it's available on Google Play Store.
Oh, boy. Hello? Hello? All right. Tell us about the effect of endometriosis and miscarriage.
Yeah. That is also something that I wouldn't know if to say it's controversial or debatable. And that also talks about the possible expanse as to the damages that endometriosis can cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because we also know that people who have endometriosis may also, mark my words, may also be at increased risk of miscarriages. And this largely boils down to the role of these so-called toxins,
all of them
that just keep circulating all over the place. So they've largely been implicated in endometriosis associated and miscarriages.
Okay. You've talked about all of them, toxins and chemicals, and I'm going to where they are from, where they come from, but then again, could it be from the kinds of food we eat or the women eat? Or chemicals and toxins?
No, not necessarily with specific focus on endometriosis. Not really. But because like I said, you have these tissues at ectopic sites, and then in those ectopic sites, they are having metabolic activities, and all these metabolic activities, play a role, in the release of these chemicals or toxins that then circulate. It's like you're having the right thing in the wrong place.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Okay.
And then creating problems or issues
at
those ectopic sites.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
So if I just put it literally.
I'm just soaking it in. It's like I'm in a classroom here, and teachers here, private lessons right here.
And I think one thing which I had made mention of previously, and which I would want to emphasize again, is that endometriosis is quite common. It's quite prevalent in our environment.
What's the what do you call it now? The statistics? Like, would you say one in every five women or two in every five women? What can you tell us?
Yeah, in terms of statistics, would still put the prevalence at maybe something around maybe 10-15%, which is quite significant.
Yes.
In the environment, but it's also based on what is the diagnostic apparatus that are available. Because like I said previously in the past, prior to availability of laparoscopies, ability to be able to carry out diagnostic laparoscopies, because the gold standard, I talked about the symptoms,
yes,
but the gold standard for you to be able to establish a diagnosis that this individual has an endometriosis is to do a laparoscopy. What a laparoscopy means is basically putting camera lenses into the abdomen to try and look out for endometriotic spots. That's the the gold standard.
You have all of them stuff in the
everything. Yeah.
Good Lord.
So a time there was, when these facilities were not available, so it was thought that endometriosis was not common. But with increasing availability of this equipment and then increasing ability of physicians to also be able to carry out these procedures, we are seeing more and more of it.
I know I asked you this at the beginning of the show, but I mean, after reading out a whole lot of this, I can't help but ask again on, give me a picture of how a typical day is for you, because you've reeled out all, I can only imagine what you see, what you hear, and how you're able to go about dealing with this.
But I think what I also want to say is I also try to prepare myself emotionally,
Exactly.
Because I also need to be emotionally strong. Otherwise, I could also find myself, breaking down somewhere along the line.
Because you probably will be hearing all kinds of cases and situations that this has happened, that has happened, I've tried this, I've tried that. And, I mean, inside of you, you're like, gosh. But then you've got to put up that face, that the doctor's face.
Exactly.
The doctor's hat. Put exactly. that hat
and
on.
And like I said earlier, the individual sitting in front of you must leave happier.
Happier
than she came.
Mm.
So if she does not leave happier, then you've probably not done anything.
Do you get people who come in as couples or mostly singles?
Yeah. It's ideally, as much as possible, you want to see couples, coming in, because it's usually a shared, problem. So, but with increasing, education, increasing awareness, we now find, more of the husbands coming in with their wives, like what used to happen in the past, where it's completely the woman's problem.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the advantages of some of these programs that we keep having, enlightenment programs on TVs, radio stations like the ones we are having today. And it's definitely helping to get more men to follow their wives to the clinics, because assessing infertility or fertility related issues is a couple thing.
Yeah.
It's not a woman or a man thing.
So if a woman walks in there or a man walks in there to say, hey, look, I've got a problem, would you say, hey, look, go get your husband or go get your wife so that we can talk with both of you, given the fact that this is, a two-in-one situation, so to speak.
Yeah, that's
would you advise
yes,
that?
Yes, that's the ideal.
Mm.
that's the ideal.
That's
but occasionally, that's the ideal. But occasionally, you have situations where one partner
just deal with me. Forget.
So we have no choice but to still go ahead and see how we can make ourselves relevant.
Last week you had the Saturday Family Forum? Was it last week?
Yeah.
How was it? How did it turn out?
It was fine. It was cool. It was okay. Continuing to provide information, continuing to improve, increase enlightenment or awareness, among people, in terms of, what infertility is all about, and to also always know, that there is hope, because that's
the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the message. That we continue to preach. Message of hope.
Yeah. Sometimes people see it as a death sentence, as in, oh man, gosh, this is it. And, either that or they get scared by the cost implication, which, it's possible. There's hope. you know.
Yeah, because when you say cost cost implications depends on you know what.
Yeah, it depends on what it is
about. Yeah, yes. Because we have there are different treatment options or modalities,
mm-hmm.
you know, for taking care of infertility, and not just IVF.
Yeah,
you know, IVF. You know, I don't want to say.
Yeah, I mean that's a different thing all by itself. Yeah, so yeah, how often would you be having the? Do you have the family forum?
The welcome forum. Yeah, yes. We have it every second Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like every second Saturday, make it your business to. Do you guys have an? Do you have an app for that?
Hopefully soon. I think we are already in discussion with Mark Zuckerberg and
should be an app. I mean, there's app for.
Yeah, hopefully we'll come up with something. So there are a lot of Nigerian guys out.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll be able to come up with
brilliant ideas. So anyway, it's all
for
good.
The thinking.
Endometriosis is what we're talking about right here in the men's room, and it's actually wrapping up the infertility series that we started about 6 weeks ago. Today I have Dr. Ibrahim Adewale, a fertility expert from the Bridge Clinic, in the men's room sharing stories. And if you've been following, thank you so much for following. If you're just tuning in, good Lord, where were you? We'll make out ways to for you to catch this, you know, somehow on the social media provided for you, so you can catch up on it. But you can also follow us on Twitter, OJ, men's room at OJ, yeah, at men's room OJ, that's where it's at. Just follow and share your thoughts and see what's going on there. Yeah, having fun and the show comes to an end. Imagine that. What else would you want to say? What else would you want to share?
How time flies.
How time flies. What else would you want to share?
Yeah, I think my message or my parting shot on this program today is to continue to deliver a message of hope. There is no infertility, you know, challenge or challenges that cannot be overcome.
Yeah.
The most important thing is to be knowledgeable. The most important thing is to, you know, be aware, you know, of the problem, and then more importantly, to also seek help.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to seeking help, it's also important, you know, that you seek help, you know, at the right, you know, place. Because if you also don't go to the right places, you know, to seek help, you know, you could also run into a lot.
I don't want to name one wrong place.
Please don't.
I mean, some cheap wrong places people go to.
Please don't.
You know, folks who don't.
Please,
he's almost falling out.
Please don't. But the message continues to be the message of hope.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing.
Knowledge. You've got to have knowledge in this. Otherwise, you remain ignorant and you suffer ignorance. Ignorance is quite expensive, actually.
It is in the long run.
Yeah. Honestly. Doc, thank you so much for coming. Yeah. Really appreciate it. I mean, I love wrapping up the show with you. I've spoken with the best of the best of the best from the Bridge Clinic, and you just measure up like crazy, I tell
you.
Thank you so much for coming.
It's my pleasure as well.
So what can I say? Thank you for calling. Thank you for being a part of the series and a part of the show. And don't forget, of course I'll let you in on the phone numbers. Of course I won't let you go like that, or let me go like that. So for inquiries, and you want to make calls, and you want to share your stories and all of that, grab your pen, grab your paper. Are you ready? There we go. 01 63 100 92, that's the number to call. Now the number to send a text message and WhatsApp and all of that, 081 04 60 7792. Again? Come on. All right. 081-04-60-7792. Don't tell me again. Come on. All right. So that's a number. That's a number. And just send all your inquiries there. Make the calls. And don't forget, Bridge Clinic is at number 66 Odudua Way, right there at Ikeja GRA. They've got their family forum third Saturdays, right? Family forum is all at your disposal. You go there, ask all the questions, you get some free treatment and free consultancy, actually. Yeah, free, my goodness. No, I wouldn't say this, but how else do you want it? All courtesy of the Bridge Clinic. Again, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to catching you again same time, same dial next week, with a different angle to the men's room. It's been a series of infertility. Thank you for staying. Thank you for calling. My name is Onimisi Adaba. Hey, don't forget, it's at Men's Room OJ Twitter. Also follow us Facebook, Men's Room. Be a part of the show. Contribute. If you feel strongly about a topic we should share on air, throw it in there. Send it via Facebook and Twitter at Men's Room OJ. Just send it and then we'll look at it and, hey, we'll consider it and have your topic on air and discuss it the best way we can with resource people who will be able to do justice to it. Yeah? All right. So, you want the number again? I thought I did earlier on. Well, you're just hooking up. Where were you? All right. Calm down. It's 01-63-1092. That's the Bridge Clinic. Yeah. And then you can also call 081-04-60-7791. Yeah. 917791. That's a number you can send all of them text messages and WhatsApp to. Yeah, if you want me to call it again, I don't know. Good night and God bless you real good. OJ over and out.
Hi, my name is Onimisi Adaba. Now, in partnership with Bridge Clinic, the first pioneering IVF center in Nigeria, every Tuesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Inspiration FM, I'll be coming your way with a show called The Men's Room, which is the much-needed platform for healthy and honest discussions on things we as men hardly talk about. Now, don't forget, I'm partnering with Bridge Clinic, and it's coming your way on Tuesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Men's Room, from the bedroom to the boardroom.
It's 9 o'clock.
92.3, your number one family radio.
Inspiration FM. We're number one! Nigeria's number one family radio station.